Full disclosure, this podcast has already been incredible. We're so sorry you weren't there for it. We just started recording. But we have a very special slate of guests today. I know for the past years, you've heard about RGP Development's coaching program, our coaching certification. We have three certified coaches who are now going to be bringing people through the BYB experience, starting actually the day that this podcast is released. And we thought it would be an excellent idea for you all, our listening audience, our biotypical community, to get to know these fantastic coaches, hear them in their excellence that we've seen for years. We've watched them develop their skills, step fully into their biotype reading and coaching abilities, and they are now going to be providing coaching to people that come through the BYB program.
Have you ever wondered why it is that we do what we do and who we do it with? Then this is a podcast for you, an exploration of human beings through systemic psychology and Unani biotypes with Rodrigo Garcia Plates, Ross Everett, and Brian McElhaney. This is Biotypical.
I'll introduce them one by one. We have our wonderful former supporting melancholic, Teresa Martino.
Hi.
There we go. We've got our fantastic former controlling melancholic, Andrew Colombini. And we've got our delightful former analyzing false fire, Crystal Jaimes. Crystal, thank you.
Hello.
And of course, we've got Rodrigo Garcia Plates. Hello, Rodrigo.
Well, hello there.
I'm here too.
And Brian is here as well. Brian. Brian's going to be.
Voice? What was that? Voice?
We've got a marbles.
I'm a marble.
So we already launched into an incredible discussion. Rodrigo was telling us this story about one of his clients who gave him permission to share this and a situation
without
that they were
having. Without using any names.
Without using any names.
Yes.
And it was wild to watch all three coaches like click into coaching mode and try to essentially assess this situation. So Rodrigo, just to back it up a little bit, can you provide us the context of what was going on with your client?
Okay, so my client is very successful in real estate, but he has like several different businesses that he runs constantly. And his main business is something that he created with his wife. And the wife runs the show in that business, which is the main business, while he's doing several other things to provide for the family in a very successful way, if I might say. But this guy is very creative, not very organized, changes things on the spot constantly.
What's his biotype?
He is sanguine choleric.
Okay. And I need to say, when you say sanguine choleric, you mean dominant sanguine, subdominant.
Dominant sanguine,
choleric.
Subdominant.
Okay.
Choleric.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm amongst my coaches.
Yeah.
I'm amongst my coaches,
level.
So I just speak in our language. But the wife is a false fire. For him to explain to her why someone within the company doesn't work or what should be different within the structure of the company is almost impossible given that she is ridiculously smart, a false fire, the official CEO of the company, and he is very afraid that anything he might say will hurt his relationship because he does not find an angle in which he can present the information of what's not working within the company without it becoming something personal about her self-worth or intellect.
All right, coaches, show your stuff, ask your questions.
It's hard because I personally wouldn't have gotten into a business relationship with my partner because of what's happening personally. Like, yeah. I actually did that with my current relationship. There's problems. I decided that my relationship with her is more important than anything. I just pre-framed it before and decided not to go down that route. This is hard. And like you said off camera with this example, I would just be fully raw and real. And I'm going to say the wrong thing because it's a fake fire and she's going to be offended. And I would just try to be so vulnerable and come so from the heart and say, listen, like, I don't even know how to say this correctly without offending you, but I care more about you than these issues. Or like, let's figure something
out. Just look at the face of the false fire. Just look at the face of the false fire on the call.
So Crystal, what's your reaction as a false fire hearing that?
And by the way, Andrew, I totally understand what you're trying to build with that. And I totally agree. But we know false fire is good enough to know how they would react to that.
It was when you said, and I know that no matter what I say, I'm going to offend you. That's like, now I'm in full fire mode. And I don't hear anything you say after that other than you think that I'm just someone who always gets offended.
For all of our listeners, we love our false fires. Like, we're not saying that they're horrible human beings. But what we are saying is, it's very hard to understand how to connect in a powerful way with a false fire if you don't really understand what their insecurities are. We all have insecurities. The thing is, false fires have their insecurities in a very deep, hidden way. And it is very hard for people to realize that what they're saying is not being taken as the words that they're using, but as something that's making reference to what's in pain within this false fire. Little example. If I'm talking to a false fire from Spain and I start expressing my opinions, I've been in trouble for this before, and I start expressing my opinions about the differences in how people react to certain things, both in Mexico and in Spain. In my head, I'm talking about two cultures, two countries, and we're observing them from outside and making assessments about facts and emotions and opinions that we have. If I'm talking to a Spanish false fire, I'm talking about everything that she thinks that is wrong about herself and including her in a bag called Spain. And I'm just using the word Spain not to say that she is stupid at something.
It's really tough with phlegmatics and sanguines because it is almost impossible. It feels impossible to give criticism or feedback and they will not take it as yours. So you're saying I am this and then go immediately get the shame.
Exactly. Well, see, what I say on that is really quick, but that's on them. Like, that means this person hasn't done work. Like, why am I spending this time in this space with this person who can't get there? Like, I'm not perfect. I don't know exactly how to get there.
Yeah, it's funny because listening to the other melancholic talk, because I'm like, God, this sounds so frustrating having to communicate with a person like this. But I'm like, just chill the fuck out, is what I like want to say in these hypotheticals we're talking about.
And if you say that to your false fire wife, you're going to sleep on the couch.
Yeah, that's probably why I will not marry a false fire.
To coaches, I want you to, real quick, I want to add the context. Remember that in this client's example, they are married.
Yeah.
Okay, right? We need to start doing episodes like this way more. I want open discussions and episodes about how to solve different things with all of our coaches on.
So it's great, right?
I have a suggestion. And like, let me know if this would work. Because my boss actually recently did this with me. I have a sanguine boss.
Did you kill him? No, but because you're a coach and you're amazing at this.
But still, I didn't see what he was doing in the moment. And then afterwards, I was like, that was slick. My analyzer appreciated his tactics.
But add romance to it. Like, what if you were in a personal relationship with this human being?
Yeah. Well, okay, so let me tell you what he did, and then you can tell me how...
Alice, I want to hear what Teresa wants to ask, because she's been holding to a question for a while.
So he's a sanguine analyzer controller, and I'm a analyzing false fire. We just had a reorg at work, and I was placed in certain positions during that reorg. Well, he wanted to do some reshuffling. I got pissed. I got angry, I got offended, and I went to talk to him. And what he did was, he didn't address any of that. What he did was, he focused solely on where he needs me elsewhere and why. Totally fed my ego, played into my strengths. And he was like, I need you here because if I don't put you here, this will fall apart. You're the only one that can do this. And I was like, okay. And I followed his lead. And then afterwards, I was like,
it was brilliantly presented.
Okay. Would that work?
Yes, if you actually have a place for them. Like, that's easy. Changing a false fire from one place to another is very simple. Even if it's something that they don't want to do, all you have to do is point at the value and make sure that you're pointing what they value. The problem with a false fire is trying to tell them that you value something that they don't. Like me going to a false fire who thinks that they're the best technician in the world and going like, I love you because of how you dress and how you treat other people. Immediately, what I'm going to get in return is anger. Because what I'm saying is, I don't see the thing that you believe is beautiful about you. And the things that are extremely basic and that you don't value about yourself, that's what I like about you. So in the head of that false fire is like, oh, so I've been getting ready for like 20 years of my life to be this smart. And what you value is my shoes?
It's a form of love language. Like, you've got to give people love in the way in which they receive love. So if someone values their intellect and you're praising their beauty, they go, oh, but what about this thing that I've worked so hard to develop? I want to hear Teresa's question.
Okay, I'll ask the question. But interestingly about that, it can be quite confusing from the outside perspective, because especially with a lot of false fires, wanting to project that image. Like, I've never known anyone other than false fire that's going to always wear those specific shoes and like dress and create that image. So when someone's projecting that image so consistently, you start thinking that that's something that they value and that would be good to compliment, but actually it's not. So it can be.
It becomes almost like an aggression when you're trying to compliment them.
Okay. So my angle or my question would be to kind of come from a place of, are you happy in this position? Asking that the false fire, like, is this making you happy? Are you happy?
If you ask that to a false fire, they're going to tell you how they would be happy if you stopped fucking up so much.
Yes, but that's the end, though. That's the end. Because I think it's tying back what results they would like to see, not from you, like the other person, but what that final product would look like. What would be the end game of that being, like, whatever it is, for them to have more time, for their partner to have more time to spend with them, to whatever that is, and kind of work backwards from that instead of saying, hey, if you weren't in this position, or if you did something different, or if I did something different, then we'd get there. Kind of work backwards from the result that you want to create. And almost kind of in a way, partially, not completely, because they're a false fire and they're not a cleric, but use the kind of that illusion of alternative as you're working backwards to have them create a solution.
That is perfect for 99% of the population. But the thing is, exactly. Like, unless this false fire, and we're just talking about any hypothetical false fire with no work done whatsoever on themselves. Yeah. Like, unless this false fire has been to therapy, has done BYB, has met one of you guys that opened their eyes, unless they have that, if you tell them what would make you happy, they're going to immediately making about everybody around them. Because an important part of a false fire position is, I'm okay. I'm right. Like, what I do is perfect. And if this is not working, you did this. Like, one of the things that most people suffer through when they're like, in a partnership, in a relationship, in a friendship, in whatever, with a false fire, is that the false fire logic will always be victim-y. So it's not I fell down. It's because you didn't fold the sheets, I fell down. Yeah. That's their logic. Like, that's where they come from. They will not admit anything that they're doing wrong.
This is breaking Brian.
I know.
That's so upsetting.
Dude, we all know false fires.
I know where I went wrong in that. So being who I am, and I'm assuming that this is something that other people do, and this is not true. Being who I am, if I was anywhere in that part of that relationship or seeing it from the outside or whatever, I will have already been able to extrapolate and been looking at clues as to what that false fire said would make her happy, to be able to already know what she's trying to work back from. So if that person who's in the relationship with her, that question doesn't even have to be a real question. It can kind of just be leading the person from where you already know that, from what they've complained about or what you can see they've wanted, or in those moments, you already have an idea of what would make that person happy, and kind of walking back from that. So the question doesn't have to fully be a question, and you don't have to even rely on the answer that they give, because you already kind of know what the end game that they're looking for, the things that they might feel like are missing, or the things that they've expressed as needs or concerns, whether fiery or watery in the past. If you already have those pieces, then you can kind of start walking that back yourself, even if the answers they officially give you in the moment are very victim-y.
I agree. Now, let's put it this way. Like, I completely agree with that structure. But for everyone listening to really understand this, and for us to be able to translate that solution, Teresa, into this, the situation is the following. You're in a personal relationship with a false fire with whom you need to give feedback to without hurting your relationship. There's nothing positive about it.
Is that
how do you do it?
This is so interesting, because there's the, I want to preface this. I'm kind of coining this term right now. There's the false fire trap, and it's this trap, which is, you can say, are you open to feedback? And they go, yeah. Before the trigger, the waters are calm, right?
As soon as you say, are you open to for feedback to a false fire, they're already in fire. Like, they're already waiting to destroy you.
But they'll say, but they will say that they're open to it. Yeah. They will not say no.
But you're,
they will say,
I don't see value in getting that. Like,
I'm calling this the trap. I'm saying, don't fall into this trap.
Oh, okay.
Where it's like, negative. Okay.
Yeah, this is, so you, no, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm
saying, yes, thank you.
No, let me clarify. This is the trap. This is the lie, right? Because they will seem on the outside open, willing to hear what you have to say. But no matter how you present what you present, meaning tone of voice, whatever it is, their brain is already going to be flipping it around into defense mode, which is why what Crystal's boss did with her was so appropriate, because he never made it about her. He made it about where she is needed. And this is something that our coaches do brilliantly, and Rodrigo, you do brilliantly, is when working with false fires, you always say this, it's never about what it's about. It's never about the dishes. Mm-hmm. It's always about the underlying thing. So, like, And I actually don't have the answer to this, and I posed this to our coaches in Rodrigo, which is the way in which you address an underlying issue with a false fire.
It has to be out in the open. The only way out is that it has to be out in the open. Like, the only way to deal with it is creating such a relationship with a false fire that you actually know what their triggering points are. Mm-hmm. And then you dance around them. But that's easy to do if what you're trying to do is move a false fire from a place to another. All you need to do is present the information in a way that plays to the strengths that the false fire values about themselves. They're going to love you. They're going to go, like, this person is brilliant because they saw how much I shine. Mm-hmm. Like, they see my worth. They see my strength. I mean, Crystal could see right through it because of all the work that she has done. But even in the moment, did you fall for it?
I did fall for it.
In the moment you did. And then probably 20 minutes later, you went like, I see what they did right there.
it sounds like you just have to be their emotional hostage, though. Like, you just, that's what being with a false fire sounds like. Like,
have you ever been in a relationship with a woman?
Not really. Because I don't want my emotions held hostage. But this sounds beyond. I mean, this is not a relationship.
This is taken to the 10th power, yeah.
It frankly, like to me, I guess this is just my controller, but it seems absolutely irresponsible for someone to blame me for their own emotions. Like, of course, I guess what I do is I just avoid people like that. I try not to put myself in those situations because,
what do you mean?
Well, when to me, that's someone who acts like that is like not emotionally intelligent to me. Like they just don't get it. And so I just don't spend my time around them. They seem just emotionally intelligent and are unintelligent. And I don't think it's fair. Personally, it doesn't seem fair. I'm doing what I can to move through here. Yet this person, they get a little triggered, they react. And it's like now they have this blank checkbook or whatever they feel, da da da. It's like, and I don't personally feel like if we're to structure a business, I don't personally feel like that a fake fire, false fire analyzer should be in that position. I don't believe like that is structured properly.
So quick question, Andrew. If you're working with a client, I understand that you wouldn't go into that position, but I want to hear how Andrew, as a coach who's working with a client who has themselves in this position, would address that.
Oh, okay.
If they're not loving you, Andrew.
I personally,
feels
honestly,
like Andrew's recommending divorce.
I'm always playing prior. That's just how I work. I personally wouldn't know. I'm actually interested in what you guys have to say because I don't know. I don't get myself personally into situations like this. Or I don't associate with organizations that have this structured like that. So yeah. If a client isn't analyzing fake fire, which I work with a lot, I have authority. So they're going to listen to what I say. They get it. Like I have, they'll and actually listen to
And me. It's easy as a coach because you don't have a personal relationship with them. Like the problem is having a personal relationship.
Yeah, I'm lost. I really want to know the answer to this.
Is the way Andrew and I are the way because we're the two melancholic guys. I guess I want to know how Dan's responding.
Controllers, dude, let's go.
And it's like we're both like
subdominant clerics, right?
Yeah, we're both like you guys are all trying to figure this out. And how do you talk to them? And we're both like completely dismissive of it. We're like, fuck that, get out of there. Don't engage with that person. I'm kind of surprised how I'm responding to this. So I'm like,
no, I get you, dude.
I'm of both minds. I will do this up to a point and then I'm out. That is me. But I mean that it's because I was supporting and now I'm shifting out of it.
Right.
Well, I have like, so much to say.
Yeah. I mean, just to briefly say what like Andrew's talking about, there is a part of me that's also like that where I'm like, if you're not doing the work, I'm tiptoeing around you, which means I have to do so much work for you to just sort of do nothing. Like, what's the point? Like, why?
Okay, but wait. We're falling into a trap.
Okay.
Go to this and then I'll explain my trap.
Okay. The thing that, and it's interesting because I'm on the total other side of the spectrum being, coming from the supporting melancholic and being female. But interestingly, and I think we talked about this recently, hopefully stop me if it's not okay, Ro, but we talked about this in the current certification that's happening, the team. And you know, we just did do a deep dive into melancholics and
yes,
interestingly.
Oh, I think you're going to open the door that I wanted to open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Way to go. All right. Keep going.
Let's see.
But maybe, I don't know. I don't care if it's that door, but as long as it's a good door. interestingly, remembering that I'm coming from a melancholic place and as a melancholic, we often get ourselves into situations because we completely remove ourselves emotionally from the things that we're talking about. We can talk about something that's an extremely hot topic or subject or something that's crazy, remove all emotion from it and just work off logic that has nothing to do with the emotion of it. And sometimes find ourselves in situations where we say something that and people have an emotional reaction to it, false fire or not. People have an emotional reaction to it because of what's going on. And we're just like, hey, I'm just talking here. I'm just playing with concepts here. I'm just, it's just words. It's not my opinion. It's just, hey, I'm like unpacking this thing and like futzing around with it, kind of like maybe a sanguine would with like taking apart a radio and figuring out how it works. And we're just doing this intellectual exercise with no connection to the emotion that it might be evoking in other people. And sometimes we can run into that that issue with people. And it's not just an issue with the person around us because they have an emotional connection, but the fact that we're not aware of the fact that that happens with other people, that others can't really disconnect from that emotional connection to that. We are coming from a certain place and even value just the intellectual exercise without the emotion part. But these other, others that are not melancholics do have that emotional connection, which gives them something beautiful and helps them to support us in having emotional connections. But there's also that separate piece where we get to realize that because they have this beautiful gift that we don't have, they also need to deal with the shadow side of things.
It's the price we pay being with
the price exactly. They pay too, exactly. And the price that we pay. So it's just realizing that, hey, we all have our strengths, but because we all have our strengths, just like with any superhero out there, they also have that kryptonite. And so to realize to work with the other person's kryptonite. Go ahead, bro. It's okay. You talk.
And that's exactly the door that I wanted to open.
Okay.
Because the thing that I thought of was, that was perfect, Teresa. But the thing that I thought of is, as Andrew was presenting, I don't choose people like this in my life, which is obvious. It seems like such an obvious decision to make. But at the same time, then you miss out on everything that makes Flomatics amazing. Especially that makes Flomatic false fires amazing. Because, for example, in my case, I am so clear why I married one. Because I wanted someone that could care for my children the way she does and commit to my children the way she does and commit to the family the way she does. And at the same time is strong enough to fight for things if I'm not around. And I cannot say that about any other biotype. I could expect that from any other human being in the way that I get it.
I wouldn't say it's all analyzing phlegmatics because I have analyzing phlegmatic friends, but
he said analyzing false fires
or false fire friends, but not in the way that they were the way they responded. That just seems really mean.
Well, the question is are your false fires shutting down or are they exploding?
I don't know. I'd have to
because the ones that explode out.
That sounded a really cool question, but we all went what does that mean?
No, so. With false fires, when they reject their emotions, right? Happen a couple of ways, right? Are they pointing in at themselves and beating themselves up, or are they exploding outward? So we talked about this on a different podcast about the different types of victim mentality, right?
Yep.
So there's the one that says it's your fault. There's the one that says it's the world's fault. And then there's the one that says it's my fault. So if you are pointing at the world, or if you're pointing at someone individually, what you're going to see is an explosion outward, right? Because they're going to go and have that victim mentality fuel their anger and fear and aggression outwards, or hostility even, towards the world or towards an individual, whoever they're pointing it at. If they're pointing it inward, their ire is there, but you're not going to see it because it's reserved for what's going on in their internal world, right? So the question is what sort of victim mentality are they embodying during their, their implosion or explosion? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you can explode responsibly.
An absolute shirt that we need to make.
Responsibly.
That's exactly what I'm saying is if they're pointing the finger at me I don't really have analyzing false fire friends like that. They'll explode. They'll express their emotions, their frustrations. It'll come out. It may even leak, but at the end of the day, they know what they said and I know that. But if they explode on me and they don't say sorry and that's just it, I mean, isn't there a point where okay, is this someone I want to spend my time with? I don't know. It could just be me and melancholic controller.
Yeah, but the thing is, if that same person, when they're okay, can nurture you like no one else in history and love you and understand you with a level of commitment that you've never experienced. I mean, no one's that stupid. No one would be with them if they didn't have this positive side. It would be the same thing as saying, being with a sanguine.
If being with a sanguine was nothing,
which is awesome,
but
by the way.
Yes, it is. But if being with a sanguine is nothing but sex, disorganization, excitement, and then all of the trouble that's created through that, we would hate them and no one would choose them. But then you also have the love, and you also have the experience, and you also have the protection, and you also have the strength. And it's the exact same thing with every biotype. Like with a melancholic, you cannot expect them to be completely open about how they think and how they feel. Like half of the time I'm having conversations with melancholics that I love, for the first 5 minutes of the conversation, I have no clue what they're talking about. Yeah. Like, this could go anywhere. Yeah. They're being so careful with how they build the concept that it's like, is this person going to kill themselves? Oh no, I think they're just quitting their job. Oh no, I think they're just in a bad mood. Oh no, they lost a sock. They lost a sock. That's it.
I can completely understand that. Can I say something really quick about that, Andrew? I want to just say that I think we're getting lost in the fact that everyone has range. Everyone has when they're not at their best. Everyone has like these outlier moments. And I don't think when we're talking about false fires that it's, yeah, if it was somebody that anytime you said something or anytime anything went wrong, they just went like, to like 100 on the false fire scale. I get that. But there's also, we seem to be talking about this fiery side as if it's the worst thing in the world. And it's honestly not, because I lived my entire life prior to this whole balancing journey afraid of being that at all and losing myself in being complete, like not at all fiery ever in the world, standing up for anything or knowing anything. So there's something that's lost on both ends. One, you're pushing people away with fire, and one, you're pushing yourself away by not even recognizing it. So I think that the thing that we're getting lost in here is this is a romantic relationship, and I don't know that this is his wife. A situation to. And correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but I don't know that you've ever found a healthy way with false fires in a relationship to both appreciate the positive and, like, you know, deal with the negative part. And that might be something to reflect back inward on, because, yeah, there is a way to be like, yeah, if this person was like this all the time, that would be awful. But it's kind of like taking people from where they are at, appreciating the positive, and then yeah, if they're not resonating with you on the negative pieces and they're triggering you back by acting the way they're acting, then that's kind of an inside job.
Well, then I just want to finish on that. It goes back to the example situation. Like, it seems like he's stuck. Like, yep. I totally understand what you're saying, and I frankly, this has been a very yes, before, very challenging. I am learning how to navigate and connect. And I feel like doing BYB, by the way, if you guys are listening, very much helped, because I was able to see what was getting in the way. My relationships with false fires are like better than they've ever been before. And it's amazing, because I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing differently, but I kind of do. I just feel compassion for the situation that of the example, because to me, I feel like if I was just honest and open and emotional and vulnerable and even expressing, like, I don't even know where to go. I just love you and I want to work through this. And they still are saying, like, they're still pointing at me, or they making me wrong. I would honestly feel lost and I would feel scared and I wouldn't even know, like, it would just seem unfair at the end of the day.
So, okay. There's another
Crystal
layer.
Crystal really wants to solve this false fire thing.
Let's get back on topic.
I wonder if there's a way in the moment to tap into the water and in that moment get them then to use their fire so that this person, their partner, can funk, like, so that the business can function while the false fire is using their fire, but the underlying reason is a watery reason. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And you're like, your intuition is taking you to the only way out of this situation. This is literally how I coach this guy. Is the only way you can get a false fire within an industry, within a business that you have a personal relationship with, to use their fire in a productive way and not get mad at you, is usually them seeing you crumble.
Yes. I knew it. I didn't want to say it. Oh my God.
What?
Because I'll tell you why.
The phlegmatics are losing it.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Because I thought I was wrong in my approach to this.
I'm sorry, you have to say that again.
I'm lost.
One at a time.
Okay. This would work with a sanguine or a choleric. Sanguines and cholerics are the strongest biotypes. Yep. So when I see a strong, and you don't need to know biotypes to know this. It's intuitive, right? The moment I see a strong biotype crumble, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, and like, this shit is real.
I immediately go into protection mode.
Yep.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect this person.
Once a phlegmatic goes in protection mode, they do not take anything personal.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
I thought I was going to get like demolished, but here was my thought, is that your client needs to go to his false fire partner and say, you're 100% right. And I'm trying my best to be the man that you deserve and to run the business the way that you deserve. And baby, my ability to articulate is not as good as it needs to be in order to give you what you are asking for. And I am so sorry about that. Can you please help me?
Well, I coached them into something very similar to that.
Okay. So that approach is correct.
Yeah. This happened literally a few minutes before I jumped here.
What was that dance?
I coached them into standing before her and saying, I can't deal with this anymore. Like, I'm collapsing. There's no way I can keep going with this. Mm. And then suddenly the things that take forever to solve are solved like that. Mm. Here's the problem, though. That only works for a brief period of time. Uh-oh. Because nothing really gets fixed in that situation. You're kicking the board. Exactly. You're kicking the board, but the pieces are going to come back to exactly where they go.
Is there an element in that moment to say, can we please revisit something to make this more sustainable? And that's my favorite word in regards to relationship and business.
Yes, yes, but it needs to happen within the crumbling.
Yes.
So, it needs to happen right then and there, because if it's the day after, it's
walls are back up.
So do you have to like put on an act? Like, do you actually have to like...
No, you
don't
allow yourself
to crumble.
You gotta be vulnerable. You just have to actually crumble.
Oh, they're phlegmatic. They know if you're pretending.
They get angrier if you're faking.
Exactly.
Yeah, but like you have to actually be pushed to a breaking point where you're actually crumbling.
Oh, but this guy is sanguine with a little bit of choleric. I mean, he like loses it very easily.
When you say loses it, you mean explodes, not implodes,
exactly.
Correct?
Yeah. Oh, sanguines and cholerics. Have you seen a sanguine or a choleric implode unless they had the worst childhood ever?
Yeah, I was about to say that would be something that's a traumatic experience.
Yeah, 100%.
Waiting to resurface.
So it's almost like immediately after the fire is put out, right? It's like there needs to be another vulnerable moment where the sanguine subdom choleric tells the false fire, like, what just happened, who you were, right? What it took. Like, I need that because I can't be here again.
That's positive reinforcement.
Yes, and that works beautifully. The thing is, what will become really challenging is the time afterward. Because then as soon as the false fire sees their partner being strong again, mm-hmm. then they'll just go back to the old standards.
This is actually good because I wouldn't know. And my instant thing is just avoid. Now, my question, really vulnerably sharing, is getting into a situation like that, is it even worth it? Like, I feel like...
That's where my brain is, Andrew. And
let me show you guys
the piece
of the puzzle that is going to make this make a lot more sense to you is that none of you have asked questions about the relationship yet, because remember the different stages of attraction.
Yeah, I feel like we're hyper fixating on one instance in a totality of a relationship between two people that is maybe years, if not decades old, you know? So you have to think about it in that context of like, there are patterns within that relationship that exist and that may and that almost are required to ebb and flow in such a way so that this stuff happens, and it could be the fact that we have the potential to coach people into acknowledging, seeing where those patterns are going, so they can anticipate it. Be like, oh, I know what my needs are. I know what this other person's needs are. Maybe we can figure out some sort of way to compromise and lean into this stuff without it feeling painful, without it feeling as painful as it used to feel.
I agree. I think that just keeping in our minds the fact that there's never going to be a relationship that's just smooth sailing all the way, and keeping our minds in the fact that, yeah, if you just start a project on something and things start going terribly wrong, you're like, yeah, no, like, I don't know. I just started crocheting a blanket. If I started crocheting a blanket, everything's going wrong. The type of yarn is awful. It's not working out. You know, you just stop and you start again. And that's what dating is. But when you're in like long-term committed relationships and you've built this amazing, beautiful, complex, you know, relationship and life together, it might feel like these individual things are so heavy and why would I even want to be in this situation? But that's also what built this beautiful thing that you have.
There's another component here, which is to you, Andrew, and to you, Brian, these are strenuous enough situations that you would say, I'm out. But keep in mind that having the coaching client in front of you is the opportunity for you to ask how they've normalized this and where else in their life they've normalized this type of behavior. That this isn't like, oh, I got married and now all of a sudden this person turned into. They pretty much know their partner and they know these patterns. So to some degree, you know, egoically, this is harmonious for them.
For sure.
So the questions that you know we get to ask the client are something along the lines of, you know, where else in your life do you feel this way? And like based on results, this is tolerable for them until it's not, of course, but it has been up until this point. So what is their ego getting from it in terms of their worldview, of their beliefs, that keeps this in alignment with how their world looks?
Exactly. I mean, what he shared was there's no way out, because he even gave a solution that, I mean, if Ro gave a solution and it's still kicking the can down the road, it's like, okay, there's something here. Like something gets to shift because we can't keep going along. So there's no way out. And that's what it just seems like. And something major needs to shift. And see, this is why I believe, like, I mean, just in my experience, I've been in a relationship and worked with them and it just never works. It always interferes. It always mixes. I'm obviously open to seeing like it be successful, but you know, to me, it's like either the business or the relationship, and I get to pick either or. And also, too, when it comes to analyzing phlegmatics, I totally understand. But when it comes to this aspect, it's like how to navigate to where they feel they don't feel offended, right? They don't feel like speaking. How do I speak it in a way to where it lands, right? Because I do realize that I offend people just by looking at them. And it's honestly disheartening, because that's not who I am, but I know that I need to get to shift a certain way to speak to them. And I still like would love this answer, because I guarantee you, because I work with a lot of analyzing phlegmatics, fake fires, I guarantee you they're going to have some question or something, and this is going to show up. And I'm going to be like, I don't know, or I'm going to have an answer. So this is fun. This is cool stuff. I like this.
When you're saying about you seem to do it without even noticing, that's where you get to be curious about yourself. And even if you can't figure it out, just calling it out. Hey, I know that someone who looks like me might, you know, trigger something. And I realize that just putting it out there, if you realize that that's something that you trigger in people, or you know, the way you look triggers in people, because Rose said it so many times, you know, we know this stuff, and Crystal even spoke to it earlier. We know this stuff intuitively. So even though all those people out there haven't all learned about biotypes, they can see your they will see your biotype, and there'll be something that maybe is triggered in them. It'll remind them of something else. They'll think of it in some way. You know, Rose always talked about how even in movies, if someone's cast as the wrong biotype, we don't believe it. So just being aware of your biotype and what that might trigger in people, and just getting curious about, you know, how that is perceived in the world. And you can't change your biotype necessarily, but you can be aware of how that's going to be perceived and just be honest and open about it up front.
1,000,000,000%. You guys know this because we worked with it a little bit, but we've talked about many times how it's our responsibility to acknowledge the fact that we understand what looking the way we look like feels like for the person on the other side of the screen. Like, that is absolutely true. Like, you've heard me give examples many times of specifically a very typical type of melancholic or phlegmatic that I know are very attractive and attracted to sanguines. And as soon as they see me, just by looking into their eyes, like just by seeing their face, I know I look exactly like the guy who broke their heart, lied to them, hurt them, left them, cheated on them, et cetera, et cetera. And it's ridiculous to pretend like that's not happening.
We were talking about how you have that window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. when a false fire goes into their protection mode, to where all of a sudden, like, being offended is not an issue, and they just go and they support you. And it seemed like after that, we started trying to be like, wait, how do you extend that forever? And I think that the thing that we keep getting caught up against, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, is the fact that we're coming from a place of thinking that we can, in that moment, instill some type of logic, which then they can continue to extrapolate that feeling from forever.
Yeah, but it's not about the logic. No.
It's about the emotion. Like, it's about that fleeting emotion in their bodies that just passes, and emotions pass over short amount of time. Go ahead.
Yes, but the huge problem is that if you're talking about controlling or analyzing false fires, which are like, I don't know, 89% of the false fire population, what you're going to realize is that you're dealing with someone that wants to speak logic but are making decisions through emotion, and they do not want to talk or address the emotion. Mm-hmm. So even when you sell to them a logic that's bulletproof, that no one could disprove and everybody would agree with, if they emotionally feel like it's hurting them or judging them or devaluing them in any way, they'll reject it. Or they'll pretend like they're on board with it when they're not.
When they reject it, false fires, do they know in their heart later on when they're alone in their bed, like, okay, yeah, I did that. It was good logic, but I was just protecting myself. Or are they unaware of that?
They're absolutely unaware. Just like everybody with their trauma.
Makes me even more frustrated.
Here's the thing. Sometimes it sounds like we have it against false fires. But let's be clear about this.
I think I might.
Brian clearly does.
What's going on with me, but I'm really getting triggered.
Interestingly, I don't know. Is this a Mel thing? I could almost always tell when someone's rejected it, when a false fire is rejected.
I'm like, okay. Me too. They're not good at hiding it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No, but what I mean is this. The reason why sometimes it feels like we have it against false fires is because it's the only instance that we have within the understanding of Unani biotypes that includes a biology and a trauma, a specific trauma. Like, if we had a name for sanguines that are completely disintegrated and have never created anything with their lives, we would hate them 10 times more than we hate false fires. If we had a word to describe analyzing melancholics that cannot, for the life of them, connect to other human beings, we would hate them more than false fires. The thing is, they're not so prevalent and we don't have a term for them. So this is not a phlegmatic problem. We're just talking at a group of people with very similar trauma that we call phlegmatic false fires. I just wanted to make that distinction because it matters.
It's a degree of 1 point.
What? The year here comes my Mel.
I disagree on one point is the fact that just because of the two examples you gave, neither of them sound hostile. An analyzing melancholic is not going to hustily be like out in people's faces and doing all this. That's the thing that I feel like is somewhat difficult for
But imagine a disintegrated sanguine. He's not hostile. He'll just destroy your life while being funny.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that wreck. Like, stop that wrecking.
I'm a Mel. I don't pay attention.
It's fun.
I don't think it's
fun. I've never had a sanguine.
Well, all of you guys have either a sanguine teacher or a sanguine partner. So, like, you're used to it.
I think that maybe it's because of the fact, what you were saying, is the fact that the trauma gets involved.
Yes.
And then the traumatic kind of compatibility with the people that end up being in their lives, it's hitting on other people's trauma is what is, you know, ends up being the difficult piece.
That's absolutely true. But to answer Marble's question, no, Mr. Brian, they don't go to bed going like, that was sound logic and I had to block it. No, they go to bed, and Crystal, correct me if I'm wrong, they go to bed saying, they tried to slip that one by me. They try to present this beautiful logic while they're hurting me and five other people with that logic, and I was going to fight back, and I'm not allowing this. Well done, Falsefire. Go to bed now.
We don't think about the logic that is presented to us. All we sit with is the frustration that no one can see our emotional logic.
Mm-hmm.
The frustration, which is like, it doesn't
let me give the audience a very specific let me give the audience a very specific example. A melancholic ghost. So
melancholic ghost?
Ghost.
I thought we're getting spooky.
I mean, they are very white. They tend to be very white.
White, frail, anemic. We're here.
Yes. There you go. So you kind of are ghosts.
A ghost anyways.
Skeleton.
I mean, I think both Brian and Andrew need to put stones in their pockets if there's a like big gush of wind not to fly away with it.
Pardon you. I've gained 20 pounds. I'm almost at 100 pounds.
And we can see it on your bloated face.
I hate it.
Okay, so what I'm saying is this. Imagine this situation. A melancholic math teacher walks into the room and says, so children, can we now all agree that 2 + 2 = 4? And everybody goes, yes, but there's a Falsefire sitting with a stupid sanguine friend that Falsefire just loves. And the stupid sanguine boy said, I'm pretty sure 2 + 2 = 5. I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't even need to, like, put the pieces together. I'm pretty sure. The Falsefire that's sitting besides that stupid sanguine little friend is going to go like, fuck you, teacher. For some of us, it's 5. And you're not going to treat my sanguine teamy friend like this. And that girl is going to put her hand up and go like, but it could also be 5. And the teacher will go like, No. Like 2 + 2 = 4. Like this is a fact. Like this is not an opinion. Like we're not making this up. And in the Falsefire brain, what she's saying is, yeah, fuck Timmy. No one cares about Timmy. We hope Timmy dies. And that's exactly how the Falsefire is going to react to that.
Yeah. We're gonna try to defend the logic of why the sanguine thinks that.
Yeah. Not to destroy the sanguine.
Yes.
Are melancholics and Falsefires, are they like, is that one of the hardest relationships? Yes. The way you're talking about how Falsefires have to use their emotional logic in protecting their friend who wants to believe 2 + 2 = 5. It's just so antithetical to, I feel, how a melancholic moves through life, which is, guys, let's just put our emotions aside just for a second and just talk about the logic. It's no big deal. It's just logic. It's not going to hurt your opinion or your emotions. It shouldn't. Let's just like get through the facts. And there's some slings and arrows of things hurting you when you have to hear the truth. That's okay. On the other side, we'll be fine as long as we just stick to the objective truth. Hey, everything's golden, baby.
And this is exactly why I always say that phlegmatic Falsefires love melancholics. They love them. False fires meet melancholics and they go like, we're the same. We think the exact same way. I love your logic. I love working with you. This is amazing. We just see it eye to eye on everything. And then you see the melancholic face go like, yeah, no, we're not the same. Like, no, not even similar. No. But please don't get mad at me. Yeah, we're the same. I'm happy too.
I've never thought that about a melancholic.
We're right here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I haven't. Like, I've never thought that. Like even being an analyzer, I have not had that moment with.
I think that you're in that space a little bit of an outlier because I have a lot of false fire friends that pattern fits 100%. But sometimes our individual beliefs can actually move us outside of the norm of that. For example, for me being. Being subphlegmatic and also having been a supporter my whole life, I wouldn't look at default fires and be like, I would be like, yeah, you don't get my logic, but what is it that you do have that I don't have? Like, why can't I do the thing that you, like, why can you get away with all these things? I'm trying to be nice here. Like, so I mean, I would try and almost look at what they did have and question myself about it. But that's, again, that's my own thing. So,
and Crystal, at the same time, that is not true. I've seen you fall into this trap. I'll give you an example. Yeah. There's this mode that you go in when you're like really enjoying talking to someone and you become like you're 12 and it's always through logic. And I've only seen you access that with Mel's. Let me give you an example. I'm pretty sure you can access this emotionally with phlegmatics too, but I've seen you sitting down in places with Mel's. I've seen you do this with Betsy, for example. And Betsy says something like, have you noticed blah, blah, blah? And you just light up and you go like, oh my God, yes. Because blah, 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 blah. And then you just connect. You totally do that. And then you just connect through logic and that makes you feel like this person gets me. That's what I'm talking about.
I think it's not necessarily this person gets me, but this person has validated something that I felt like I was alone in.
Yeah. It's more of a momentary thing.
Yeah. I don't mean like you chase melancholics or anything like that. I mean in the moment when it feels like the logic that the false fire is building for emotional reasons, but the logic that they're building is validated by a Mel, the amount of excitement and connection that you see in this false fire is mind-blowing. And in the moment, they go like, you get me. You get me. I'm not saying that you're going to choose them and take them to your life and go like, move in with me. But there's this intellectual mini orgasm that happens in like, holy shit, you see things like me. When false fires actually have this experience of people not seeing the world the way they see it. And when they find a Mel that they can connect with like that, you can see the false fire loving the moment and you can see the melancholic enjoying the moment, but also going like, yeah, but we don't think this for the same reason. That's the thing that happens with Mel's.
Okay. So explain more on what is it though? Because I'm actually thinking of a Mel coworker that I have very like, I admire his articulation. Mm-hmm. And so when we're in meetings together and I'm able to say something and he is in agreement and doesn't even add anything additional, I can see that like orgasm moment you're talking about. So what is actually happening there?
That you respect their intellect. You're building a logical thing. Uh-huh. And then you look at the person whose intellect you respect. And if they go like, yep, then you immediately know that the concept that you're building makes sense. And if anyone else disagrees, you can fall back on the melancholic things that this is right. So you're stupid.
It's a dopamine release of you hit the bar that you've set this person as the bar for like, okay, like this is logic. And if I see logic agreeing with my logic, then my logic's in alignment and I can stand behind it more firmly, gives you a dopamine release.
And this is what actually happens with the melancholics. If they're like a little bit wise, in touch with their emotions a little bit, and like social interactions, if they're a little bit balanced, what you see in the melancholic is they go like, yeah, that makes total sense. And they have a little bit of that intellectual orgasm too. The thing is, in the next step,
The phlegmatic goes, and that's why Timmy is right, and 2 + 2 could be 5. And then the male goes like, oh, no, that's not even close to what I meant.
Wait, what?
That's interesting. See the faces of the males when I said that.
Well, it's also just sort of like, you want to actually help Timmy in this world? Like, let's not coddle him like this. Like, this is going to be bad for Timmy.
I think, you know...
Poor Timmy. I mean, he's just a disintegrated sanguine that doesn't know math.
But here's the thing. I like Timmy. I like dumb old Timmy. He's funny. Yeah.
I have a question for the coaching Parthenon real quick. And then we're going to put this answer probably behind the Patreon wall. So
nice.
We're focusing a lot on false fires today, and I'm not going to change that with this question, but... I had the privilege of speaking to a false fire who had asked me about, like, you know, biotypes and relationships. And the number one question that I usually ask false fires when I don't have a lot of time to, like, actually dive into it with them is the question of, who do you let take care of you, right? In regards to why false fires can find themselves outside of partnerships. And then I'm going to, you know, if you want to hear what this false fire said in response to that, go to patreon.com/RGP development. You can hear the full version of this episode over there, but I'm going to dive into her response to that. And I want to hear what these coaches have to say to that.
And please don't send money to stupid little Timmy.
He needs to learn.
Want more of Biotypical? Well, good news, there's a longer version of this episode available at patreon.com/RGPdevelopment. There, you'll also be able to find ways to get on the podcast yourself, ask questions, as well as watch a live taping remotely. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast and subscribing. Remember to rate this 5 stars wherever you're listening to it, and we'll see you next time.